Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
We're talking about this subject today, ladies and gentlemen, of the fall of the Boy Scouts of America. The fall of the Boy Scouts of America. We're talking with one of our sons, Greg Youngblood. We're in dialogue and discussion on this. The telephone number is 831-0917 if you would like to call in. Greg, here's a further statement from Tony Perkins. He says, if you're wondering where raising a white flag on core values leads, it's this. The Scouts are a case study in moral compromise, the story of anyone who exchanged the truth for cowardly confirmation or compromise. Leaders at the Boy Scouts of America drop their moral mandate to accommodate what they don't believe. In the current climate, that so-called inclusion that everyone else is considered betrayed. Right now, too many churches, Christian colleges, even businesses are dangerously close to making the same mistake. They're so desperate or fearful or both that they're willing to water down who they are to protect the small space they're standing in. That's just one problem. The gospel isn't truth, isn't up for negotiation. And in their rush to soften the blow of its confrontation, some believers are willing to sell out their identity as followers of Jesus Christ. And further, Tony Perkins says this, the Boy Scouts wandered far away from who they are, that they end up in 2016. They even dropped their most defining characteristics, boys. In the end, it ruined them. That's the destiny of any Christian who takes the naive view that the world can be placated. He further says, reminds us in the scripture, come out from among them and be separate, Paul urged, because he understands that in the end, it's not our sameness with the world that transforms people. It's our distinction of standing on truth in their midst. That may not be easy, but as the Boy Scouts are finding out, it's a whole lot better than the alternative of compromise. Greg, what do you say to that?
You know, the old adage of a camel that gets its nose in the tent, and the reality is soon thereafter the whole camel will be in the tent. We're there, folks. We're there. Now, you step back in time, some good decisions could have prevented this, but that's why steady, committed, dedicated, faithful Christian leadership is necessary if you intend to maintain a straight course with the ship. I think that this sort of thing is repeating itself in area after area, and a major concern within the church, within the household of faith. You know, that wasn't necessarily the household of faith, the Boy Scouts of America, great organization, you know, prior to now. They were a great organization. But the church house, what would you say to churches? Some think that to allow those folks that are in that, what they used to call the lifestyle, to come in and to become members. I think Paul addressed it real clearly in 1 Corinthians 5 and Romans, I guess, 1 and 2. But in 1 Corinthians 5, it's very interesting because you have a very clear sexual sin, fornication taking place, and you know this is a derivative. It's still fornication. It's sexual sin. But that church at Corinth had embraced the person involved in fornication open. Everyone knew it, and they loved this guy. They didn't want to toss him out. And the emotional side, I understand that. There are folks that I nearly call my friends and acquaintances and even family members that are in that lifestyle. Here's the distinction. Within the church, if an individual comes in and calls themselves a believer, listen and think about this in correlation to that particular presidential candidate, Buttigieg, right now. He calls himself a believer. So if a person comes into the church, they call themselves a believer, and they're involved in this open sexual sin, 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, put them out. Now, the lost world, by the way, in that day, in that age, in that community, Paul said, this is something that the lost world's not even involved in doing. The heathen out there, because this fellow was involved in a sexual relationship with his stepmother. Okay? But Paul says, put him out. How many churches, though? How many churches that person comes in, they're so kind, they're so sweet, they're so nice. Maybe they don't even talk about it. This is not an issue for a while. They get into the children's ministry. You would think it's just a single man, just a single woman, just as nice as they can be, just as loving as they can be. And then they come out. What do you do with that? Now, the Bible has a prescription for that. And it's not intended to be mean. It's not intended to be evil. It's intended to make sure that the corruption is not embraced by other folks. And one of the greatest admonitions we have in Scripture deals with leading a younger brother or sister astray, leading a little one astray. Would that be leading one down a path of a sinful lifestyle? Absolutely. That's why we don't want it. As an accepted thing, you want a person to come to church, hear the gospel, come to know Christ, and let the Lord turn their life around, not for them to come in, be embraced in the midst of their sin, and turn the church around.
Yes.
We get that wrong so many times because the love that a Christian ought to share that gets perverted.
Well, Greg, as you see very clearly, and we're talking about Boy Scouts and their incremental compromise, and as you touched on so clearly, that's taking place in our churches. And as Christians, as we look at what took place or has taken place incrementally since 2013, incrementally, but yet absolutely exponentially with the Boy Scouts of America, that very same thing by way of the LGBTQ agenda and the push across America, every mainline denomination as of today, in some fashion, greater or lesser, they've embraced and they tolerate and they celebrate the sodomite lifestyle. And that is the thing that is so frightening to me. We talk about the collapse of the Boy Scouts of America, and that's horrible because they had hundreds of thousands, several million members of the Boy Scouts of America. And look at what that will do across the nation. But ladies and gentlemen, that's minuscule in comparison to where we are in our churches today. We need to realize, I believe, Greg, and for our listeners today, that we're facing an enemy, and that enemy is named Satan. And we're in a spiritual, moral, ethical, open, hand-to-hand warfare combat. And the question is, how will we respond? What will we do? And we need to keep in mind that the collapse of the Boy Scouts of America did not happen overnight. As I said a moment ago, it was over a seven-year period of time, incrementally, until it became so heavy that they can no longer handle it. And Greg, the bottom line was, and perhaps you want to speak to this issue if you have the material or information on it, they have, I believe, there's something like 11,000 suits against the Boy Scouts of America for sexual abuse being brought about by pedophilia and by the sodomite lifestyle of some of the Boy Scout leaders that would absolutely molest the boys as they go on camping trips, as they're in the tents together, on the trail together. And it is sad to see, ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda is for that very thing. It was the willingness of compromise under pressure from the LGBTQ and the media that was involved bringing that pressure that brings the collapse today of that great organization known as the Boy Scouts of America.
I have a couple of comments on that matter, because you just mentioned 7 years, and I'm not disagreeing with you. For 7 years, we've had a very open discussion about the compromise of the Boy Scouts, but for decades prior, they maintained what has been called version files. They were very well aware, through their organizational structure, they were very well aware of thousands of cases of abuse. They had blacklisted. They have had a group of names. These folks are blacklisted. They can no longer participate in the Boy Scouts. Well, why? Because we caught them. We caught them. And what did we do? We didn't call law enforcement and have them arrested. No. We caught them and sent them out and created a little blacklist. You know, that's a problem. And quite frankly, you know, I'd like to right now publicly, openly advise churches. If you're in church leadership, if you're especially if you're a youth minister or a singles minister, watch what's going on inside your ministry. Because, quite frankly, you're a target. As a church, there was a fellow, I will not call his name because a lot of folks in Jacksonville, Florida know this guy. But he came to a singles ministry 30 years ago on the west side of Jacksonville. And his own admission was he came there for a nice, clean Christian girl that would backslide and go to bed with him. Now, that was a heterosexual, and he was looking for fornication, adultery. Same kind of, we're dealing with fornication, we're dealing with sexual sin. He targeted a singles ministry. Same church, same time frame, homosexual came in, the same exact intention. Looking to pick up a young man that he could have backslide and become his new recruit. These things are taking place across America. And when you see the signs, this is something in East Tennessee. I've had a conversation with three ministers recently because a young lesbian, same-sex attracted girl, she was involved in the youth group. She hadn't joined the church, but nobody in the youth group knew that. She was a part. She was a part. And I warned, I said, now be very careful. What's going to take place is if she continues to stay and she continues to be embraced and continues to be accepted, she will continue to recruit. Folks sometimes don't realize that leaveneth the whole lump that the Bible talks about, that sin, when it creeps in, the church at Ephesus was commended because they didn't let that sin come into the church. Why in the world we have so many people naive today? And another thing, when you hear the criminal act takes place within a ministry, it's embarrassing. It's horrible. But that person committed that criminal act. Do not hesitate for a moment. Pick up the phone and call the sheriff's office and have the person hauled away and dealt with by the courts. Can God forgive them? Yes, God can forgive. But from a civil standpoint, there is a necessity that these things be addressed. Otherwise, it permeates, it infects, it destroys the entire body. Boy Scouts of America today could survive if that had been their course. Every single time they find an issue, an act, a criminal act, you turn them in. But no, they held it. They did undercover. Well, everything's going to come to light one day. And one more thing, and this kind of goes the opposite issue. The perversion files that have resulted in now thousands of lawsuits, the bankruptcy of Boy Scouts of America, the same bad policies, similar bad policies, led within the Catholic Church to the pedophile priesthood. They yes. violated a tenet of the Scripture. Within the Scripture, you have a mandate for the pastors, the priest, to be the husband of one wife. Instead, they decided they would compel the celibacy of the priest, perverting some advice that Paul had given. They put that in an encyclical, and all of a sudden, you introduce an issue, a problem. And then, of course, homosexuals step into those, and they go, oh, great. So, you know, I guess it's a celibacy for heterosexuals, for the homosexual, and then the homosexuals involved in ministry where the Scripture would say they ought not be. But keep in mind, it's when you skew the standard and when you step outside a godly standard, all sorts of chaos ensues.
It goes back to the fundamental word, Greg, that is compromise, and on an incremental basis. You see, and I go back to the fact that Chick-fil-A just a few months back, in fact, less than a year now, they determined that they wanted to broaden their base, go into other nations with Chick-fil-A, and they realized they had a major barrier, and that was their moral, ethical position about the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ, the fact of marriage is one man and one woman, not two women or not two men, etc. As a result of that, they compromised, thinking that somehow, some way that would assuage the demands of the LGBTQ. It didn't assuage it. In fact, it enhanced it and increased it so that now the LGBTQ agenda, the sodomites, are demanding that the Chick-fil-A, demanding that they hire those that are openly homosexual, that they set policies up for the work relationship, that they will have special benefits for the LGBTQ community, et cetera, special pay packages and so forth. They will not stop until they force the Chick-fil-A to either close or to fully bow and bend, embrace, and accept and tolerate the Sodomite lifestyle. It is a incremental compromise that they're pushing for. Greg, let's talk further about just what happened. You touched on part of it. For years, the Boy Scouts of America were keeping the secret files because they didn't want the rancorous bad publicity that they have had child abuse taking place within the camps. So they kept it sequestered. But from 2013 and following, when it became open policy that transgender boys, sodomite boys, pedophilia-leaning boys could come into the Boy Scouts. And then on top of that, Greg, one of the things that most may not be aware of was the fact that there was the Girl Scouts of America file suit against the Boy Scouts because they wanted to be included. Girls wanted to be included in the Boy Scouts of America program. And so you have further chaos coming into the equation where you have the sodomite boys, the pedophile camp Boy Scout leaders, mixed then with the fact that the girls are allowed to come into the Boy Scout and go camping and hiking and on the trails. It is a sad finding. In fact, Greg, I'm looking at an article, recap some of the things we talked about. It says, Boy Scouts file Chapter 11 bankruptcy in the face of thousands of child abuse allegations. And it goes on to talk about the child abuse allegations. It says, after months of speculation and monitoring civil litigation, the Chapter 11 filing by the Scouting Organization National Body was unprecedented both in scope and complexity. It was filed in Delaware Bankruptcy Court overnight. In the court filings, the Boy Scouts said that they faced 275 abuse lawsuits in just that state alone, and the federal courts around the country, plus another 1,400 potential suits and about 11,000 total over the years. The group said it paid $150 million in settlement and legal costs in 2017 to 2019 alone. Another title headline says, Boy Scouts file for bankruptcy due to sex abuse lawsuits. By going to bankruptcy court, the Scouts can put those lawsuits on hold for now. But Greg, during the course of this time, when the Boy Scouts of America started to allowing the pedophiles and the sodomites to come in, the Mormon Church, listen carefully, the Mormon Church pulled about 400,000 of its boys out of the Boy Scouts of America. They said that they would not continue to tolerate the immoral declension that was taking place in the compromise. They would not allow that to take place, so they pulled 400,000. And that was if I'm not mistaken, I've got some other articles. I believe that was something like either 8% or 18%. I forgot the number of the total Boy Scouts. 400,000 pulled out at one time. So, Greg, we've got another caller on the line. Hang in, and we'll have a discussion with our caller. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I'll try to make this brief so I don't interrupt what you and Greg are discussing. Extremely important topic. I know that you agree that men, godly men, are the stewards of the world. Is that correct?
That's correct. Absolutely.
All right. Also, do you agree that we are in a time of grave social confusion?
Absolutely.
Yes, you do, because you said
more than in my lifetime.
Absolutely. Okay. Is God the author of confusion?
No.
No, God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. The author of confusion is the evil one who seeks to undo everything God is doing. And in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, we see how he did it. He went to Eve, did he not?
Right.
And Paul affirms that. The end, not the man, but the woman was confused. Now, he sat there with his, Adam, with his righteous authority in his holster and didn't pull it and prevent the problem, but Eve was the conduit through which it went. Here's the point. Masculinity, maleness, is the essential anchor of our culture. Satan seeks to subvert that, the natural man-woman dichotomy that God declared in the beginning. He created them male and female. In the lesson of the first century church, you preached about it on the recently on the Church of Thyatira and the woman Jezebel, who was bringing confusion and corruption into the church. There is that tendency in our culture to pull away from male authority and to create the confusion of gender androgyny that we see. I think that is what is in Genesis 3:16, for your desire shall be for your husband. Now, I admit that's controversial, but there are a number of theologians, in looking in the whole context of the Bible, that verse indicates that a woman will have a natural desire for not only her husband, but for his authority. And that's the lesson of history, I think, particularly in Jezebel and Athaliah and some others. Now, if God is not the author of confusion, and Satan is confusing us through gender, which is the primary battleground of the male-female dynamic, we've got to understand that this is a satanic battle that we're in. And Greg alluded to Matthew 13:33, a one-verse-long parable of leaven that what a woman put into bread. Now, again, there's great controversy over what it means. But the context of the entirety of Scripture, it's pretty clear that the greatest problem, one of the greatest problems in the world today, and I spent 30 years working on this, so I'm not going to budge from this position. One of the greatest problems, probably the greatest problem in our world today, is the fact that men don't want to lead, particularly pastors, right, in their churches. Men do not want to lead. Women do. And when we have this movement toward androgyny, maleness given up, assertiveness by women taken up, you meet in a middle ground of the confusion we see in our world today, and it's aimed at destroying masculinity. There's a book out there in the secular community written by a feminist. Her name is Christina Hoff Sommers, one of the best books ever read. It's called The War Against Boys. You better believe that that's what's going on in the Boy Scouts. In the age that you and I grew up, there were a number of adjunct organizations, including college fraternities, if you can believe that, whose aim was to help young men deal with the challenges, sexual challenges of growing up, and through fellowship groups and action groups, turn that sexual energy in a constructive learning environment and create good men. And that's one of the things that the Boy Scouts did. It's one of the things, actually, that the military did before it became feminized. It's, again, the fraternities. Many adjunct organizations were aimed at building righteous, godly men who control their vessels, I believe the Bible says, in the proper manner, their sexuality. But the desire of Satan working through woman, Eve, is to tear down that authority position. The church almost died because of androgyny in the first century. It's challenged today terribly. We're in social and sexual confusion because of Satan trying to take away the male authority in the world. You put a woman in the pulpit, and that's one of the greatest affronts to God that you can do. I'm sorry for this long dissertation. I'll be quiet and welcome hearing what you and Greg have to say. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that dialogue and discussion, that intervention with your thoughts. And you're exactly right. It is a spiritual battle. It's a demonic battle. And ladies and gentlemen, it is being fought out through what's called the LGBTQ agenda. That's the Sodomite agenda. The Sodomite agenda. Here's an article that says, and then Greg, you can respond to it. This article says, LGBTQ advocates applaud the Boy Scouts of America for lifting the transgender ban. It's dated July the 31st of 2017. This is when this took place. Just over 1 year after lifting its ban on gay employees, the Boy Scouts of America has announced it will accept transgender boys as members in the scouting chapters nationwide. Quote, starting today, we will accept and register youth in the Cub and Boy Scouts program based on their gender identity indicated on the application, not their birth certificate. Our organization's local council will help find units that can provide for the best interest of your child. And then it goes on to read the statement, et cetera, et cetera. And it's making the announcement. And part and parcel of that is when blending the Boy Scouts of America, the Girl Scouts of America, the LGBTQ sodomites, and the those that are the pedophile group into one amalgamation. And with that continuing aggressive compromise has led to the bankruptcy of the Boy Scouts of America. Greg, what is your input and your position on what I'm saying? It's led by the LGBTQ. And across America, Greg, and you're familiar with this, we have the HRO, the Human Rights Ordinance. I call it the Human Reprobate Ordinances, where it mandates special treatment, special access, special laws to protect and to promulgate and to push and to promote the sodomite lifestyle. So what can we expect when we see that being pushed? And again, as Marshall just said, it is absolutely a demonic delusion, a demonic confusion that's being pushed in America.
I really appreciated Marshall's words of wisdom. The reality that we face in America, as he stated, there are distinct God-created, God-designed differences between men and women, between boys and girls. Today, with the step in 2017, as you were just articulating, their move to open the floodgate, to open the doors, to embrace those in that lifestyle. That LGBTQ lifestyle, they've actually, the only thing analogous to that would be the farmer that has a chicken house, and every now and then a chicken, a fox will slip in and take a chicken. Somebody left a door open, or they're able to squeeze through, you know, whatever, in order to get in and get a chicken. So this happens, you know, this farmer's got millions of chickens, and over the course of time, a handful of them get taken by the fox. And in order to fight that aggression of the fox, the farmer decides, a chicken farmer decides, you know what, I'm going to take down all the fences, and I'm going to make the foxes welcome with the chickens. Mm-hmm. It's absurdity. It's absurdity. And I have a message to your listeners out there that are dealing with that lifestyle. Either friend or family member or they themselves, they're dealing with that lifestyle, the urge more than anything else. It's a propensity toward those acts. Guess what? The reality is Jesus died for you the same way he died for me.
Yes.
What's going on in this conversation today is not a hateful conversation, but that of love and that of warning. Warning for the culture, warning for churches, warning for fellow believers, and warning for you in the midst of that lifestyle. Jesus died on a cross to save every single one of us from our sins. When the Christian says, no, we don't want this lifestyle within our youth group, within our singles ministry, within our church, other than to have you come in and hear the gospel, to hear about
yes.
Jesus Christ's love for you.
That ought to be the major
thing.
Yes. And in our closing few seconds, Greg, Franklin Graham is facing this very same thing from the LGBTQ, trying to block and stop him from every place he's going because of his stand on marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take a stand and not compromise. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh, according to the Word of God. Thank you so much for joining us today in this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
Christine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.